You're listening to the Embrace Running Podcast. I'm Mark.
I'm Elena, and this is episode number 41 for October 21st, 2012.
Welcome to the podcast, where we talk about all kinds of running topics, from nutrition, marathons, half marathons, 5Ks, 10Ks.
Gear.
10-milers. I'm going to name every single race distance I can think of.
Mini marathons.
Oh, there you go. That's a tip to rock and roll, I guess. So, what do we got today? We have interesting...
Kind of a lot, kind of feels like.
Yeah, kind of. At the end, we'll have two race reports because a crazy person that I know decided to run a half marathon on Saturday, ran a half marathon on Sunday. You're the crazy person I speak of.
Yes.
Before that, I think I'll go on a little rant about some stuff. I might rant on some stuff at the end also.
So Mark's rant. So just heads up. Yeah, Mark's ranting today.
Yeah, a little bit. So I guess let's start with kind of how our week went.
You want to go first this time? I'm going to go first.
I can go first this time.
Okay,
mine
go for it.
Was not good and really short. So
okay.
I ran Tuesday, Thursday, a whopping 2 miles, 2.25. Let me get credit for everything that I did on Tuesday. And Thursday, I did a really good 6 mile run. Kind of picked it up in the middle, kind of treated it like a tempo run, at least for the middle 4 miles. So that actually felt pretty good. I was happy with that. But, it's kind of been my theme lately. I've been kind of shorting the mileage during the week. It's just been kind of hard to find the time and the motivation to really get out there. Weekends, no problem. Long runs, no problem. But this midweek stuff is, I'm falling short, I guess, as I get closer to this marathon that we have in December. CIM. So
I wonder what most people find more difficult, like doing the midweek miles or the long run on the weekend.
I mean, that's a great question. Like I said, for me, it's midweek. For you, no problems with either.
I guess it's a little bit more difficult to get all the runs in during the week just because there's more of them and, I feel lazy or this is going on or that's going on versus the weekend, like pretty much have it planned like, okay, this day, whether it's Saturday or Sunday, going to go do a long run. So I guess if I had to pick, I think probably the midweek runs are a little bit more difficult for me to get motivated to go.
Yeah, the long runs on the weekend can be intimidating just because of distance, but theoretically most people have the time on the weekends. So it's not a question of
versus
fitting it in. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was really my week. Not much to it, I guess. Did some bib pickups during the week, but I'll get to that later, I guess. So how was your week?
I had a pretty good week. I had, I got on the spinner again twice this week, hit the weights twice. And then as far as running goes, I think I got in just a little over 48 miles. So I think I was, based on my marathon training, I think I was supposed to get in about 46. So just a couple of extra miles in there. I think I got all my runs in that I was supposed to based on my marathon training plan. Not necessarily on the days that they called for it, but I did get them all in. And then, like you mentioned, I am the crazy person that did back-to-back half marathons. So one on Saturday, one on Sunday. Today's Sunday, so one today. And I guess we'll get into that a little bit later, but I'm hurting a little bit. So we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we should say we're recording this actually on Sunday.
Yeah.
So I think we're both a little bit sore from, I'm sore from my one race. You're sore from your two.
My two.
Feel a little beat up.
But I'm alive. And I'm awake, and I think I'm coherent, so that's pretty good.
If we go silent for a while, maybe we just got tired and fell asleep in the middle
of
this.
Right, we might have just dozed off, and we'll pick this up when we wake up.
Just hang around.
Yeah, exactly.
You're putting in some crazy mileage.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm just kind of building on, I guess, what I've been doing for, I don't know, maybe, I guess, earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that I'm on mile. Okay, maybe I'm not super coherent. I'm on week six, or that completed week six of my 12-week training plan for CIM. So I think I'm kind of starting to hit the big mileage weeks right now. So
yeah, kind of right in the meat of the marathon training, I
exactly.
guess. Exactly. Yeah, we really only have like a month before you're basically tapering, or even 3 weeks.
Right.
Three weeks,
start the taper.
And then it's tapering for us. So
yep.
This is definitely the...
Which is a whole separate problem for me.
The taper?
Yeah.
I'm so looking forward to taper.
I get antsy. Like, I think I get a little anxious or something.
I think that's pretty normal for most people. I think most people fear that they're losing their fitness.
Right.
You're just missing all that time that you've been spent, that you have spent running.
Yeah.
So maybe you get a little bit crazy.
Like I don't know what to do with myself. Like, oh, I should be doing this. Or, oh, really? I only should do this sort of, mileage. But I guess, we'll talk about it when we get there. So.
Yeah, you'll hear our craziness, maybe. Maybe me, not so much. Like I said,
I'm you'll be like, this was a great week.
I love the taper.
Exactly.
Sounds great in
taper
theory.
Taper may be for you.
Yeah. So what else is going on this week? I want to mention, only because I mentioned last week, the guy that ran, that was a marathon in a suit, right?
Yes.
So this past week was a guy who ran a marathon in flip-flops.
Yeah.
Which.
Crazy.
I don't know why, but I guess he's going to try to get that certified as a Guinness World Record. But, you know, making the rest of us look bad, or most of us look bad. I think his time was 2 hours and 46 minutes.
That sounds right.
For a marathon? Yeah. Actually, I'm looking at it here.
It's ridiculous.
Crazy fast for anything. I wonder how his feet really felt when it was done.
I just read a short article about it, and he said, like where the, like his, you know, feet started getting a little bit swollen. Mm-hmm. And so the strap or whatever was started hitting or
yeah,
not scratching, rubbing
uh-huh.
his foot. So I think that's where there was a problem. But I mean, I would expect that. And then also like some of his toes were like kind of, I don't know if they got blisters or if they were just kind of sore or something, but because he had to kind of like grip the sandals a little bit, you know, to make sure they don't fly off. I think that caused a problem too.
Yeah. It's nice to let your feet breathe, but, but yeah, I've had flip flops kind of, I don't know, can kind of wear out your toes there a little bit.
I've had
the rubbing and stuff, so yeah. I can't imagine doing that for 26 miles.
Or even just keeping them on. I've had flip-flops get away from me just walking normally, where it's like, mm-hmm. what happened?
Yeah,
Oh, let me step back real quick and pick up my flip-flop.
Yeah, I wonder if he ever, like, if it did actually slip off. That'd be kind of funny. Because, you know, you see a lot of, like, dropped goos on the course.
Yeah.
But not, like, flip-flops.
Right.
Like, oh, who left their flip-flop?
I dropped a goo today.
Yeah, you did.
Mm-hmm. We were an open goo. Hopefully nobody stepped on it.
Yeah, it's so annoying when you actually do step on a goo, yeah. like out on the course.
Yeah, and I was too tired and sore to pick it up.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, that's going to stay there.
So what else are we talking about? I guess next is my rant.
Your rant.
My rant.
Or at least part one of your rant. There could potentially be two rants today.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is kind of something we talked about before was for marathons having, I think we've talked about deferrals or transfers.
I think so.
At least once before. So the reason I brought it up, because we're doing California International Marathon in December. We both follow them on Facebook, so we can kind of keep up to date with what's going on with that. They still haven't announced what their electrolyte drink is. We know it's Powerade, but we don't know what flavor.
Right.
So still waiting to see that. Oh, funny thing, I actually grabbed a Powerade before my run on Thursday.
Oh, just to kind of test out.
Yeah, because I needed Powerade. To stop at the store to get something. So I was like, I normally reach for Gatorade, and I was like, well, they're going to have Powerade. Let me grab Powerade.
That's a good idea.
Of course, you know, I don't know what flavor it's going to be. So,
I think you said you'd be okay with any flavor except for grape.
Yeah, no yeah. grape. I had a fruit punch, if anybody really cares. But
how was it?
It was okay, actually. Okay. It's fine. So if that ends up being the drink or the flavor, I'm fine with that. But maybe I'll try a different flavor this coming week. It'd be nice if they could just tell us what it is.
So yeah, because then I could start tasting that too and see if it's something I like.
Yeah. So back to CIM. They posted on their Facebook page this week a kind of a long post about...
it was a little bit of a rant on their part, I think.
Yeah, they were saying, and I'll kind of read the beginning of this actually, word for word. This was from 1017. They said, time for a reality check. Now that CIM has filled to the max and some folks are looking for bib numbers... while others who might not be able to run are considering giving away or selling their numbers, everyone please aware that transfer of your bib number is illegal. Mm-hmm. So they kind of go on in the post because it's kind of long. Basically, you know, you're not allowed to trade it away, give it away.
Sell it.
You agreed to this when you signed up for the race. It goes on to say, entrants enter into a contract with us to follow the rules when they sign the waiver. So by illegally transferring a bib number, an entrant... risks legal action from the CIM.
Mm-hmm.
And there was lots of comments from people on Facebook about it.
Yeah.
I think we said before, you know, the standard for every race you do is no transfers, no refunds, nothing like that.
Well, not all every race you do.
Most races.
Right.
So
but not
let's
every
say 90%. But it's funny, they go on later on to say, the CIM works hard to track down illegal transfers by monitoring Craigslist and eBay, by checking our Facebook page, and by finally checking participants' photos, chip reads, and finish times.
Mm-hmm.
So, a lot of people commented. I found the post a little bit... how can I describe it?
Aggressive?
Yeah, aggressive. I think as runners, we know. You know, if you're an experienced runner, you know you're not supposed to be doing this. We know it happens all the time. But it seemed like they were being... I don't know. They had too much of an attitude about it, threatening, like, it seemed like they're threatening legal action.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think any of us see it as maybe, or I don't personally don't see it as something that would warrant legal action.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people were annoyed with that. CIM kind of said that their basic response to people's comments was, logistically, it's not really feasible
right.
for them to be able to do it, which the big joke in people's comments after that was, it's too much work to do the transfers, but then they're going to spend all this time tracking a Facebook page, Craigslist,
eBay, checking
participant photos and timing chips
yeah.
to verify that nobody did this.
Right, so they were saying, why don't you have whoever's monitoring that do the transfers? And then
right.
if you're citing administrative, I guess, as being the problem or the issue,
right.
yeah. Or administrative limitations, I guess.
So, I mean, CIM, to give you an idea, is I think about 8,000 runners
yeah.
that do CIM, mm-hmm. somewhere in that range. So it's not one of these big city 20,000 person.
30,000, yeah.
Right. So it's a more manageable number. They do say in their second post, after they kind of commented on other people's comments, that, you know, we are on the lookout for a straightforward and manageable way to allow legal BIP transfers. But until then, the rule stands.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, they actually point to the Portland Marathon.
Right.
As kind of like a good way to explain why they don't do BIP transfers,
right.
I guess you could say. Which is funny because I went to the Portland Marathon newsletter that CIM referred to. And one of the first things that they say is, and I'm going to read this also, we know that in order to make some additional money, some events will allow transfers or switches. But as noted, it is more about keeping the integrity of the charity side of our events, in particular the half marathon, than it is about the administrative practicalities involved. So basically, what CIM pointed us to was something from Portland saying it's not about the practicalities of actually
like
doing
it. It's not the logistics.
Right.
Even though CIM was saying like, oh, it'd be like a logistical nightmare.
Uh-huh.
From what you just read now with Portland, they're saying, well, it's not really the logistics. It's to, and they even say, it's but for the event to start to resell or allow transfers defeats the charity incentive.
So what they do at Portland is when the half, I'm pretty sure on this, it's been a while since I've looked into Portland, but when the half marathon sells out, they have a bunch of charity spots.
Right.
That are offered. So when the half marathon sells out, they'll point you to the charity, and you know, it's one of those you fundraise a certain amount of money, and that gets you your bib and your entry into the race.
And a lot of big events and marathons do that too.
Have that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's no big deal. But I mean, I guess my issue with CIM saying it's a logistical problem, pointing to somebody else who's saying it's not a logistical problem.
Right.
As kind of their reason for not doing it.
Right.
So
although, I don't know if we're going to get to this later on, further down the page for Portland Marathon, they do say, as far as like exchanging and transferring and rollovers and deferrals and all that stuff, it says doing so with an event our size would be an administrative nightmare. So it's kind of like, okay, so which is it?
Yeah. Is it protect the charity or is it an
yeah.
administrative nightmare?
Yeah. And I mean, an example that they give is event order shirts, medals, etc., based on a no-show percentage, which holds very true unless it is tinkered with by allowing transfers.
Yeah. So it's actually funny. Portland, you know, they cite that they know the percentages of people that don't show up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how they base their t-shirt orders and their medal orders and all that stuff.
And probably even like food. And I mean, I would imagine like
right.
everything else.
So, you know, let's say you have, just as an example, you know, you have a race of 10,000 runners. They already know that based on year-to-year averages, only 9,500 are going to show up.
Right.
So they would order 9,500 medals, 9,500 shirts, food for 9,500 people, all that
yeah.
stuff. Which is a great reason to why in the middle of this year not change a policy to
right.
allow transfers. But that doesn't explain why you can't do it next year. Because you could always change the policy for next year, allow transfers, and just order the full 10,000.
Right.
So that's a little bit of flawed logic in my mind. So like I said, my issue with CIM was just the tone of their posts on Facebook were a little eh in my book,
mm-hmm.
I guess I could say. And
do you, no,
go ahead.
No, good.
No.
I was going to say, do you have, so, I mean, your biggest issue with the post was like the tone. Do you have a big issue with them not offering transfers, deferments, et cetera? Or is it mainly just the tone they took with letting people know about that?
I mean, my issue was the tone, number one.
Yeah.
Number two, the best way to stop people from the practice of giving their bibs or selling their bibs to other people
mm-hmm.
is to have a legitimate way for people to transfer their bibs.
Right.
That solves the problem. Not
yeah.
going afterwards or beforehand, coasting through Facebook pages and Craigslist and trying to track all these people and then threatening legal action on these people. That's not how you stop it. The best way to stop it is just allow the transfer.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, that's my issue. It can be done because races do it.
Right.
Actually spent some time because one person gave the example that the Marine Corps Marathon, which is in 6 days, you know, which is a big time marathon, sells out in 2 hours. They allow deferments.
Right.
I think you pay a $46 fee and you're allowed to defer your registration to the next year.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can transfer. And the way that they do their transfers, if I read it correctly, was they don't handle the transferring of the baby. You do, meaning you go to their website, you say you want to transfer, and they'll send you a link with a password that you give to the person you want to transfer to.
Right.
And then that person would take that link and password, go to the website. They would have to pay $30.
Right.
So it's essentially your transfer fee.
Yeah.
To do the race. And then that's it.
And they have a, did you mention they have a deadline of like 2 months before the race?
Yeah. Oh, well, okay. I didn't mention that, but you're correct. There are deadlines for this. And it's like, I think one of the deadlines was like 2 months before. One might've been 45 days or something like that for deferment.
So, it's not like they're letting it, you know, it happen like, you know, 2 days before, where logistically that would be difficult to do,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, and I think most people are, you know, prepping for a marathon, training for a marathon, or most people that are going to be injured or for some other reason, not going to be able to do it. Most of them probably going to know like a month or two ahead of time.
I mean, you can't,
not everybody.
I'm not saying allow things happen, transfers, but you know, the day before,
right.
or the week before.
I guess what I'm saying is that it's a reasonable time frame.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, the issue that we're kind of getting into is now races are becoming, you know, I think running as a sport is growing every year.
Mm-hmm.
All these races that a lot of us want to run are filling up faster and faster to a large degree. I mean, look at Marine Corps. It sells out in like 2 hours and 40 minutes. And that's, I think that goes on sale in March for a November race.
Mm-hmm.
So you're having to commit way out there, way out in advance to the race. So I think it would be nice to have a way for people to transfer. Or to get a deferment, or, you know, if they want to do a wait list and then offer refunds.
Right.
And I think that's the best way to solve the issue of people giving their bibs to other people.
Giving, et cetera.
You know, I mean, there was one person that actually commented on the CIM Facebook page, and they said, well, you know, I don't care about deferring or transferring. They basically just said, I'm not running the race. The race is sold out. I don't care about the money. I would just like to give my spot to somebody else. Is there any way I can do that?
Right. So that somebody else that wanted to but didn't register in time gets the opportunity.
Yeah.
Because this individual is injured or whatever reason is not going to be able to do it.
So I thought that was really cool of that person. And mm-hmm. I'm sure there would be a lot of other people that, you know, basically, hey, I'm okay with, you know, I lost my money. That's fine. I registered. I got injured. Can't do it. But it'd be nice to just let somebody else run it.
Right.
And not have instead of wasted taking a spot. Spots. Because my assumption, and I'm not a race director, you know, is they permit this event for 8,000 people, let's say, for example. You know, let's have 8,000 people run it.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than just counting on people not showing up and having 7,500 people or whatever that number
right.
is. So, yeah, I just didn't like the attitude. And I'd like to see them initiate some type of transfer process.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like I said, I think the best way, if you want to stop other people from running with bibs that aren't theirs, is just have a way for people to do it.
Right.
And I think if you need
to reassign them, essentially,
if it's a logistical problem, you know, charge for the transfer. Nobody's saying like don't charge for the transfer.
Right. Right.
Or give it to the last minute. You know, charge money. I would be, you know, if I couldn't do it, I would have no problem paying for, you know, a deferment fee or a transfer fee so that somebody else, and then I save some of my money too.
Exactly.
So, so yeah. So that's my rant for the day, I guess.
Oh, that's your rant for the day?
No, I'll have another one.
Okay,
later.
Yeah. I thought I was going to get you to commit to just one.
Yeah, no, that's my small one. So, yeah, I don't know. I think a lot of people commented on the Facebook page saying, you know, it'd be nice. We need to get a way to do the transfers.
Right.
Just to allow it. So, and I think Marine Corps Marathon's kind of really on the right track with that.
Yes, maybe they could use that as an example. I mean, I've never run Marine Corps. I haven't had to do a transfer with them. But, I mean, just from what we found or what you found online, I mean, it states it pretty clearly, and it seems fairly simple
mm-hmm.
from our viewpoint.
Right. And like I said, I'm not complaining. I know we registered for the race. We put up the money. We all knew the policies.
Exactly.
As we did it. But like, then if you're going to come out with really strong posts and announcements about legal action, then it just seems a little bit Yeah. I don't know. Kind of puts me off a little bit.
Right.
Kind of put a lot of people off on the Facebook page. Man, there was something else I was going to say about that too. And I totally
gone.
It went right out the window.
Well, if it comes back,
I'll jump back to it, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally gone.
Struggling here. Okay. So I guess I'll finish on CIM. That's kind of it. So still looking forward to the race. But
are you?
Yes.
Okay.
I was a little put off, but
I'm looking forward to it. I like it.
I'm still looking forward to it and stuff. So,
but I tend to have more of an optimistic attitude or view anyways.
I know. I'm the negative. Yeah. I'm the negative guy out of the two of us for sure. So, let's get into the races that we did.
The craziness.
This weekend. So you started us off on Saturday.
Yeah.
With Brazen's race. We talk about Brazen a lot. Rocky Ridge. They actually call it Trail Championship.
Right.
It's like their signature event for the year, I guess you could say. And the reason for that is because it's their hardest trail race for the year. So 5K, 10K, half, like they normally do. Tons of elevation for the half.
Yeah.
Do you know what it is?
It was just under 4,000. It was like 3,900 and some change.
Yeah, which is crazy.
It is crazy.
This being their signature event, there is actually prize money.
Right.
So $1,000 went to the winner, 500 for second, 250 for third.
Yeah.
For men and women. For the half marathon, men and women.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us about...
I'm getting tired just thinking about it.
Yeah, it was kind of brutal. I will say, I went and actually picked up your bib for you.
Yes, thank you for that.
On Thursday at Forward Motion Sports, which is a running store. Took all of about 3 minutes in the store to get it. I think I was like the only person there. It helped that it was a Thursday.
Yeah.
So really fast, really easy.
Pretty smooth, no big deal, right?
You'll see later why I mentioned that, but yeah.
You just had to take a waiver that I had signed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As long as you take the waiver, somebody can pick up somebody else's stuff.
Right.
So yeah. So super quick, super easy.
Yeah.
So yeah, you tell us.
And you also went with me to the race itself.
I know. I was crazy too.
Right. So you had a lot of time to
I had a lot of time to kill. I actually took my Running Times magazine and sat in the car for like an hour and a half reading the latest issue.
Oh, man, you could have sat in there longer. But anyways.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll get to it. So, I think the main reason I did it, or I did Rocky Ridge, was, and I think we mentioned it before, it was with it being the championship, you know, half marathon, it was also, you know, the one half marathon that you have to do with Brazen if you want to complete their ultra half series, which I've mentioned before, the other half marathons that I've done. So you have to do four of their toughest, you know, and they list out which ones they are, plus Rocky Ridge. That's not even a word. Plus Rocky Ridge. And then you get a coaster, which is actually pretty cool and super heavy. So yeah, where is my coaster now that I think about it?
Yeah, I don't know. It's around somewhere.
It might still be in a bag because I haven't even...
No, I took it out of the bag.
Oh, okay. Okay, good.
Yeah, I'll actually say that when I read like, okay, you do this series and you get a coaster, I was like, well, it's cool because, you know, it's you don't really need another medal. It's kind of cool getting something different. But I was like, a coaster? I'm like, okay, that's kind of... cheapy, but the coaster is like totally awesome actually.
Right.
It's like
Brazen style coaster. It's not like a little coaster with like a picture of a cat or a rainbow or something that you would just, you know, put like.
And this thing's like metal. Like,
yeah.
Like it weighs, like it has heft to it.
It's like a weapon.
Yeah. People were saying it's like a ninja star because it has like edges that stick up and stuff like that, but it has some real weight to it. So that was actually totally awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Continue.
Like sorry. Okay.
I had to jump in on the coaster.
No. Yeah. Feel free because I'm sure people are going to get sick of hearing me talk with this. So like I mentioned, elevation pretty brutal, but it's well known to be their toughest, half marathon. And I'm not sure about if it's the toughest 10K and 5K too, but I looked at their elevation charts and it was pretty difficult for 5K and 10K. So, toughest one. And actually on the shirts, I'm kind of jumping around here, but on the shirts that we get, they actually have the elevation profile, for each race on the back of the shirt. So it's kind of funny. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. It's kind of cool.
See that on there.
Really good shirts. It looks crazy. Too. We talked about the coasters.
Shirts really good shirts.
Shirts are cool.
Yep.
It's kind of funny because it's a black shirt with the, you know, the logo on the front. There is a couple sponsors on the back, right, with the elevation information. But it's funny because we used to joke we never get black shirts.
Right.
And now, like, this year we've gotten, like, four races with black shirts.
I think so.
So maybe next year, no black shirts.
Right. I kind of haven't really gotten white shirts. Actually, we got one today. Down, never mind. So, yeah. Okay. We'll have to. I don't own an orange shirt if anybody wants to make an orange shirt.
So if there's a race with an orange shirt, we're there.
Yeah, we're there. So just under 4,000 feet of elevation, and it's actually 13.7 miles. You know, it's at Las Trompas, I think, regional wilderness. Mm-hmm. So, of course, you know, out in the trails. You can't always, you know, make a course perfectly be 13.1. So in this case, you know, it's 13.7 miles. So we got out there a little bit earlier than we thought we'd get there, but that was okay because then I had some time to kind of hang out, and the car was kind of cold.
Yeah, they warned us that parking is really tight there.
Yeah.
So they were actually, because the parking lots at the race were so small, if that filled up, you had to park like 3 miles down the road. And then they actually had shuttle buses that would shuttle people from that parking area. Or actually, it was like City Street parking, I
think. Right.
But they had shuttles that would take
intersection.
You. Intersection. Yeah. That would take you from there to the race start. So.
Yeah. We did get there in time to park in one of the lots. Mm-hmm. And it was still a little bit of a walk, I think, to like the start and everything like that.
Yeah, it wasn't
so,
too bad.
Okay. Maybe it just seemed like it. I thought it was a little bit of a walk. So I'm not complaining. I'm just saying it was a little bit of a walk.
Because I actually walked to the start a couple times from the car. So
yeah.
It wasn't too bad.
Yeah. So, I mean, the good thing was you had already picked up my stuff, so I didn't have to go over there and get my shirt and my bib and everything. I was kind of ready to go. So with it being, you know, potentially the toughest race I've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
I took my Nathan vest because I wanted to make sure I had plenty of, you know, hydration, and it was just easy to carry like my goos and my chews and that sort of thing. And it actually worked out pretty well. I hadn't taken my Nathan vest or the hydration vest, I think, on a trail run. So it felt pretty good. I just had to tighten the straps a little bit more because it, you know, it was just kind of like, it was kind of jumping around a little bit mm-hmm. more than it would like when we do our Iron Horse long runs, you know, cause that tends to be pretty flat.
Yeah.
So I just moved it around a little bit more. I just had to tighten some of the straps, but no big deal. So, race started on time. I think for the half marathon, I looked at their site, there was 171 finishers and then 17 hikers, which if you're, you know, they do allow people to essentially hike the course, and they start, I think in this case, they started an hour before we did. We started at 8 and I think they started at 7. I think some of them may have actually even started before then, just to make sure they had enough time to finish. So for the 10K, there was 189 finishers, and for the 5K, there was 85. So race goes off right on time, and if we start climbing right away. So I was, you know, I had a lot of time to think out there because I was out there for a long time, and I figured they tried to kill us between about mile 0.1 to 13. Like, no. From like 0.1 to like 1.9.
Okay.
Like really, I thought, oh my gosh, I may not make it through today's race. Forget about tomorrow's. I may just be, you know, taking pictures and sitting in a chair tomorrow. If I can roll out of bed. So I think they did try to kill us around that time. And then about like mile 2 to 6. You know, they let you think like, oh, it's not so bad, you know, rolling hills, you know, still kind of steep, but not too bad. And then from like 6 to 13, they try to kill you again. So
it's 13 miles.
Yeah. So 13 miles. But they give you a couple in there that aren't horrible. So, but, you know, a couple of really big hills, pretty steep. And then some of them were extremely long. I mean, I think I mentioned to you, you know, from my pace for the different miles, my fastest pace was 8:15, I think, on one of them, which was mainly downhill and flat.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably between like the 2 and the 6 mile because, you know, it felt pretty good. And then I think my slowest pace was 19:15 or 19:20. And that was just straight up like hiking up a hill.
Uphill.
Yeah. So, I mean, it really varied. And, you know, so it was all in between there. So, and actually weather changed quite a bit too. I think at the start, it wasn't really foggy. It was a little cool, but not cold. You know, I was okay with like, you know, shorts and a sleeveless.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, started climbing, start getting hot. And then you end up in like an exposed kind of sunny area because we're basically heading out east. So it was sunnier, get kind of to the top of the ridge. I was actually able to see Mount Diablo because it had cleared up enough, which is like another park or mountain.
Close by.
Yeah, close by. So I was able to see that. It was kind of cool. And then so it was getting really hot up there. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's going to be so hot. It's going to slow me down even more. You know, just things that you start thinking about when they're trying to kill you. And so, you know, got through that part and then kind of running along the ridge, which was pretty cool. It was like pretty narrow, like single track up there. It wasn't too long, but you could really see like you had really good views of, you know, east and west. And mm-hmm. even though like west was pretty foggy, you can still see like, you know, a lot of the trees. Cows. There was quite a few cows out there. Very close, by the way. I was kind of worried that maybe they'd come chase us, but they didn't, at least not while I was out there. And then, you know, to the east, it was just really, you know, clear. You could see Mount Diablo. You could see houses. You could see all that. So it was kind of cool just feeling like you were like way up there,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then some of the fog was like below you. So it just kind of felt like you were above like the clouds, even though it wasn't really clouds. It was just fog, but it felt pretty cool. But then you start going into the next part of the course and it starts getting kind of cold. and colder and colder. And then it's like totally foggy mm-hmm. where you have like no visibility. I mean, I think you saw some of the pictures I showed you.
Yeah, I was actually talking to people like at the finish line and they were saying how crazy it was like just out on the course, like the weather changed, you know, very quickly, you know, on a race is kind of crazy.
Yeah, it was super crazy.
Although we really shouldn't be surprised because we've actually hiked there before.
Oh, right.
And I remember that was a day that we went and it was like, you know, supposed to be a real nice day and sunny. And I think we were out there in our shorts and t-shirts to go hiking. And we got there at the top of the ridge was just freezing and fog. And that's actually the coldest I've ever been hiking.
Yeah.
So that place seems to have its own little microclimate.
Right.
That's much colder than everything else around.
Exactly. So. Yeah, and actually, you know, I remember reading somebody comment about it on Facebook saying, like, oh, you know, crazy race, had a lot of fun, even with, like, the five microclimates that were on the half marathon, which was totally true, because I went from, like, being comfortable to being hot to being comfortable to being cold to being, like, in, like, this super dense fog where I can see, like, the person right in front of me, but I can't see, like, beyond that. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if there were six people in front of me, if there was nobody else there. And then there was, it was like, so since it was so foggy, all the trees up there were just like totally wet. And so it seemed like it was raining and they were raining down on you, but it was just, you know, all the moisture from the trees too. So there were some muddy areas too.
Oh, okay.
Towards the second half of the course. The course was kind of like a figure eight, I guess is the best way to describe it. With the first loop, I think being a little bit bigger than the second loop.
Was the first loop like the 10K course?
No, the second loop actually was. Okay. Yeah. So most of the course was on like a wide trail. There was a couple of short sections of single track, but not too much. And then there was one long uphill, which was on the second part of the figure eight that was paved. And that's where I got to see some 10Kers and some 5Kers and everything. But it was super steep. I mean, everybody was just like walking up that part. Like, and the bad thing was it was foggy, so you weren't sure how much further there was, you know, like you kept going, you're like, okay, I think I can kind of see where it kind of levels out. Oh no, it doesn't. It just keeps going and going and going. So, they had, I think 4 aid stations, all pretty much where they said they would be, you know, with their typical water, their electrolyte drink, which I can never remember what they have, but it's not one of the, I think it's Ultima.
Ultima, I think you said, yeah.
Yeah. Which actually sits really well with me. So I like the fact that they have that. I think it doesn't have, like any sugar in it, but it has, you know, sodium. So, and then they have goos and, you know, things like cookies and candy. And then there's the salty thing, like chips like and things like that. So, you know, for most of the brazen half marathons that I've done, you know, the hikers start off like a half hour before. And then you kind of tend to see them like just a couple miles, you know, into the race, into the course. Mm-hmm. You know, you kind of see them and you see them walking and stuff. But this time, I think some of them started even earlier than just an hour before, because I didn't catch up to the first one until like after mile 7.
Oh, wow, that's quite a long time.
Yeah, so I think they probably started early. I don't know, maybe not. Maybe it was just so steep that I ended up hiking pretty much what they were hiking. I don't know.
Well, that's the thing, you know, if you know, how much walking did you do during the run?
Like percentage wise, or mileage?
Some idea.
I don't know.
Like, did you walk like twice only, or was it like a lot of the hills?
Yeah, I probably walked like 5 or 6 or 7 separate times.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, the reason it probably took so long is because, you know, when they're hiking and you're doing a lot more walking than you normally do, you're not really going that much faster than them for a lot of the time.
It kind of evens out the playing field more. Yeah, so that makes sense.
That kind of kept them out in front of you a little bit longer than normal.
Yeah.
But are they pretty good about staying out of the way of the runner?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All of them are really good about, I mean, I can say that specifically for brazen because you tend to see the same people hikers doing it, and they're all really good about, like, you know, if we're on a pretty narrow area, single track, they'll you know, step off, mm-hmm. you know, into whatever brush is there, let us pass, and even say like good job or you guys are looking good and that sort of thing. So that they do an awesome job of doing that. So and it was funny because I was running along and I'm like, oh, I haven't seen any walkers yet, and kept going. I'm like, oh, there's a walker there. Then, you know, your mind just kind of starts going, right, when you're like running, you just think about random stuff. And then we've been watching Walking Dead, which is totally unrelated to running, and I'm like, oh my gosh. So then when I'm like, oh, I see a walker, and then I automatically think of like the Walking Dead, and I'm like, okay, maybe I need to start thinking of them as hikers. I mean, I know this is totally unrelated to running, but just your mind just kind of starts associating random things when you're out there. So my biggest concern was finishing it, number one, right? And then two, like, not killing myself doing that, because I was going to try to do the half marathon today, which mm-hmm. I was able to do. But we'll get into that later. And then I was hoping I didn't have any falls or injuries. That's always good, you know, and I don't really tend to worry about falls on a like road race, but right. with trails, you know, things are kind of sketchy. And then I was also hoping for no GI problems because that kind of tends to, you know, plague me. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, I just kind of started having a mantra when I was going through. I'm like, okay, no injuries, no gastric problems, you know, no injuries, no gastric problems. And then, you know, like after a while, I'm like, no gastric injuries. No, I'm like, wait a minute, what? I'm like, this doesn't make any
sense.
Tired
out a little bit.
Yeah. So anyways, I got through it. The very last, maybe I would say mile and a half is probably the last mile is mainly downhill. Mm-hmm. With just a couple of really short uphills. So I was feeling a little bit better than I anticipated, I guess, on the downhills, although it was downhill. So I picked up the pace a little bit and passed a couple of guys who I think were kind of surprised to see me coming by, but passed a couple of guys. And then, you know, you come around this corner and you're coming downhill, so you're kind of you're going kind of fast. And then you see the finish line, you know, getting all excited. You could hear people cheer and everything. And then, you know, I try to give it all I got to finish. And then there's, like, not much room between the finish line and I guess the people like handing out the medals and like where the area was kind of like coned off. And so I had to put my brakes on like super quick and stopped like just a little bit before them. Like, oh, I'm sorry. And then later on, it was actually funny. I heard somebody like apologizing for, oh, sorry, I ran into you. And they're like, oh, this is the fourth time that somebody's run into us today. So don't worry about it. But, like, it's just, you know, everybody's just kind of barreling down the hill and it's kind of not enough room if you are down that fast.
I was there at the finish line watching people coming in and then, you know, I was kind of worried about that before anybody came in. But yeah, people were just kind of, especially the fastest runners that came in, just jamming down the hill like crazy.
I can imagine how they...
And then you just kind of have to stop on a dime.
Right.
Because there wasn't, you know, the finish line was right in front of a picnic area there where kind of all the food and
right.
Metal engraving and all this stuff was going on. So there just wasn't a lot of room at the finish line. So everybody was, you know, slamming on the brakes and almost getting caught by people.
Right.
Literally, so.
Yeah, like I meant... I wasn't going to point it out. Okay, that's only one so far.
Yeah,
you've been doing
going.
Pretty good with that. Anyways, so I did finish, and my time was 2:46:07. Mm-hmm. So that is the longest I have been out
running
anywhere for a half marathon.
Yeah. You've done fulls, obviously. So
right.
Yeah, and to give you an idea, you usually do your halves, your road halves, mm-hmm. like at the, you know, the 140 to 150 range, I guess we should say.
Yeah, like 141 to 145-ish.
Yeah. So almost another hour.
Yes.
Based on all that elevation.
Right.
And all that climbing.
Yeah.
All that dirt.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, like, the miles when you're doing something like that steep and, you know, that type of elevation change, the miles go by pretty slow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, when you're doing a road one, like, okay, they seem to tick off quicker. Like today.
Yeah.
They seem to tick off a lot quicker. And then yesterday I'm like, wow, this mile is taking me like 20 minutes almost. Mm-hmm. Like, holy moly. You know, so it just seems to take a long time. But I finished. Yay. I'll pat my own back.
I'll pat you on the back.
Okay, thanks. Got my coaster, got my medal. You know, then they had the typical, you know, like water and then their post-race food. You know, mm-hmm. they have all kinds of, they have a pretty big layout of
yeah.
food at the Brazen events. Got my It's It ice cream.
That's tradition with Brazen.
That is tradition, yeah. And then, so I had a good time. I mean, it was really difficult, but it was nice to be able to get through the challenge and mm-hmm. do it, you know, and finish the series. And then just a couple of random good things aside from what I've already mentioned is they did have, backdrops like for picture taking.
Yeah. I was going to mention that kind of something similar to you would see at, bigger marathons.
Yeah. Or even like the rock and roll events,
yeah.
you know, like
where they shuffle you two and you take a picture in front of the backdrop that
right.
has, you know, the name of the race or something like that.
Yeah. But since, you know, but anybody could go over there and take pictures. Mm-hmm. Like you took pictures of me, you know, like we didn't have to pay or
yeah,
have an official
those,
person
yeah,
do
right.
it, you know, and with Brazen races, you know, they do have volunteer photographers who post their, pictures online so that you can download them for free. So you don't have, they don't have any like official, photographer that, mm-hmm. you know, will email you and you
then
have
to
pay
20
exactly.
bucks for a photo.
Yeah, so the backdrop was pretty cool. I think we talked about the coaster, the shirts. And then they did have mile markers at every single mile.
Oh, wow.
Every single one.
Well, I guess they normally do. It was in the ground, right? The little flags? Or no?
Yeah, the little. Yeah. Yep. And then, you know, the ribbons on the course for the different races. So I was following the red ribbons, and it was really well marked. I didn't really have a problem, like, following the course route or anything mm-hmm. like that. So, yeah, it was crazy, but it was fun.
So congrats.
Thanks.
I think you actually, I'll mention... I think you did finish top 10 for the whole ultra marathon series.
Yes, for women.
We think. The official results aren't out yet, right?
Yeah.
They haven't posted it yet.
No.
But you were seventh going into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I was seventh going into it, so that was pretty cool.
So that's pretty, I think that's a pretty good accomplishment, so congrats
yeah.
on that.
Thanks.
Now, would you want to do this race again next year?
Maybe.
Just for the challenge?
Yeah. Just because it's crazy.
Yeah, I was going to say, because you're crazy like that. Kind of. You just want to go punish yourself for a long time.
Well, you know, it's one of those things like where I'm starting it off, especially since, you know, they try to kill us in the first like mile and a half. And I'm like, this is crazy. I can't do this again. You know, but then like you get through it just like with other stuff and you're like, I could probably do this, you know, and then you start thinking about it. So, yeah. So then we came home and because this is part of, you know, me prepping for today. So I took an ice bath.
That's right.
Yeah, I took an ice bath, which I haven't done in a long time. Actually got in the tub, filled it with cold water, put some ice in there. So I was in there for about 15 minutes. Tough to go in. I don't know if a lot of people take ice baths, but it's tough to get in. Once I'm in, then it's like, okay, you know, we're just there.
Think that helped at all?
I think so. I'd like to think it did.
I'm a big believer in ice baths, I guess.
Yeah. So I did that. And then I put on my CEP compression calf sleeves. So did
for
that
recovery.
For recovery. That's
I'm also a big proponent of calf sleeves.
Right. Yeah. Although you wear yours when you run, though.
Right.
I mean, not CEPs, but another one. So.
Yeah.
So yeah. So I did that.
I think
I think that. Oh, and then I used the stick to kind of roll out my calves. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think that helped. And then it was Sunday.
So then it was Sunday.
Yeah.
So we did our Sunday race, which we both did, was Grape Stomp Half Marathon in Livermore, California.
Yep.
Now, I should say I went on Friday to do packet pickup to get our bibs and shirts and all that. And the reason I mentioned that it took 3 minutes on Thursday was because Friday packet pickup took, I'm being generous when I say I think it took 45 minutes for packet pickup.
Yeah, it took a long time.
I think
it
was probably more like 50, 55 minutes. And I know there was somebody else there on that same day that was earlier in the day and they took 20 minutes. So it was at Flea Feet Sports, another running store. The line was out the door.
That store is pretty small. So if you have like five people, the line's out the door.
Right. I mean, honestly, actually inside the store getting their package was like three people. Mm-hmm. Most people had to stand outside. But the line was extremely long when I got there and it moved ever so slowly.
And once you got inside, you knew why.
Yeah. It was only two ladies in there kind of giving out everything. So it was one lady handling the 5K and 10K and one lady doing the half marathon, and kind of the way they had it organized was she had to grab your name, then find your timing chip, then find your bib, then she grabbed the duffel bag that we got for free, and then she had to find your shirt, and then she had to, for people that ordered a small, it was unisex shirts, for people that ordered small, she had to explain to them that the shirt says medium, but it's actually a small.
Right.
So I think that all that combined led to a very slow process of picking up your packets. So
I'm sure she had to do that explanation a lot because I'm sure a lot of the women ordered a small.
A small. Yeah. Because it was funny because I was in a line and somebody actually ran into somebody I knew there. So at least I had somebody to talk to while I was on the line. But they're like, how long have you been here? You know, I was like, well, I think I've been here 10, 15 minutes, but I really haven't moved. It's like you'd watch the door and nobody would come out the door. And you're kind of like, what's going on? You know, why is this taking so long?
Maybe there's walkers in there. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I was like, I couldn't imagine what was actually taking so long, you know, but like I said, it was only two ladies and the stuff really wasn't ready to a certain degree. So no big deal. I'm not really, complaining. That kind of happens. If I didn't actually have dinner plans, I actually would have just tried to jump in there and help them out.
I think that's what the other person said to me today when we saw her at the race. Uh-huh. She's like, I almost just wanted to come over and say, like, do you want me to start, like, stuffing stuff for you or something
Yeah, no, I really was going to, except I actually had dinner plans to meet up with some people, so I couldn't do that. So, and actually, I had, you know, the one thing that was funny was there was a lot of store employees there for the running store that, you know, I guess they're not obligated to help with the packet pickup, but I don't know why they didn't, just to kind of move things along, because I was actually planning to look at some shoes while I was there, but the packet pickup took so long that I actually didn't have a time.
Right.
I had to just grab my stuff and go because it took so long. So
whereas if maybe they would have helped, not saying that they had to.
Right.
But then.
Yeah. Had my packet pickup taken 10 minutes, I would have picked up my stuff and then actually shopped in the store.
Exactly.
So, maybe they lost a few possible sales
maybe.
Because of that. But that's no big
deal.
We'll
never
know. So the race was this morning, Sunday, Livermore. It's at a big park, lots of parking, dirt parking a lot. I actually laugh because you've done this race. How many times?
This is my fourth time doing the half, but I think I've also done the 5K ones and the 10K ones.
Okay. And I've done this race twice, the 5K both times.
Yeah.
Once was last year I was actually supposed to do the 10K. I downgraded to the 5K because of some injury that I had last year, because I'm always injured.
It might have been your IT band.
Could have been. Actually, yeah. I think it was.
I think it was.
And then I did the 5K like 5-6 years ago.
It's been a while.
It's been a while. So, but I was saying about the parking, because in years past, I laughed because it seems like everybody who went to this race could never know how to park right in a dirt parking lot. And people used to get like blocked in. So like somebody would park behind somebody and then somebody else like
would park behind them.
Literally.
Don't get upset. It's okay.
Would park behind them. And there was like people that couldn't get out, or they would block the exits to the parking lot. So people had to jump over curves.
Yeah. We had to do that 1 year. It might've been the first year with it.
Yeah. So I'm always hesitant when we park at this race to like make sure I don't get blocked in, or keep an eye on people. Cause I'm like, what are people
doing? You wouldn't leave the car until like the next row of cars had been parked. Well, so you want to make sure.
So I want to make sure I can leave.
And we didn't get blocked in. We were good.
And I should say, it's a big dirt parking lot. So there's no volunteers or anybody to tell you where to park, how to park.
Right. You're on your own. Like
that. You go to Brazen Racing and there's tons of volunteers just working the parking lot.
Right.
To make sure all that goes smoothly. So, yeah. So what we should say, the race was supposed to start at 8:00.
Yeah. The half was supposed to start at 8:00. With the 10K, 5K shortly after.
Yeah. It was 10 minutes in between each one.
Yeah.
We got there early, 7:15, mm-hmm. Parked really close, which was cool.
Yeah. We're early people, by the way. Just a reminder. We're early people. Went to the bathroom, came back to the car. Now, and I think at that point,
they had a little bit of an expo thing set up there. I paid no attention to it. Really small.
Yeah, not too many boots.
The packet pickup, because they did have race day packet pickup, was a super long line.
Yes.
Like, I think the longest I've ever seen at a race.
Yeah, agreed.
So that was maybe the first sign of problems.
Yeah.
The second sign was when I saw where the start line should be. And, you know, they do one of those, like, blow-up arches.
Mm-hmm.
And that was still in its packaging. I saw the tripod for the official, you know, race clock. That was still on the ground. I think the clock was still in the box. There was literally nothing set up there at all.
Right.
So I was like, you know, the race is supposed to start in 30 minutes and there's nothing set up there.
Yeah.
So that was a sign of what was to come. So
dun, dun, dun. You're setting up this big suspense.
No, it's not big suspense, but I mean, this is kind of what's going in our head. So we're getting closer to 8 a.m., and I think it must have been a couple minutes before 8, really, when they started setting up the start line.
Yeah. Like, we knew, even though they hadn't made an announcement, like, we knew there's no way it's going to start at 8, because it's, like, 7:56, and nobody's touched any of the start line stuff, mm-hmm. like, at all. Or like, there's no way it's going to be up in, like, 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it was really cold. We kept debating whether to take... We had sweatshirts with us. We were like, take them to the car... Not take them to the car. When should we take them to the car? Because I'm like, there's no way this race is starting on time, but we have no idea when this race is going to start.
Is it going to be 5 minutes late? Is it going to be 40 minutes late? Right. We just don't know.
So at some point, we took our stuff to the car and then went back to the start.
Yeah.
And then it was just kind of cold, and we were standing around for a long time. I did a little bit of jogging.
Yeah, I was going to say, you warmed up a little bit, but it ended up being poor timing.
Yeah. They had a tiny little stage there with somebody who's hosting who... Maybe it's somebody from the local area that people know. I don't know who she was.
I think she might be like from radio or something.
Because
I remember her from the years past.
And the problem was, with the speaker system they had, you could hardly hear mm-hmm. anything. I mean, unless you were standing right in front of her, you couldn't hear what she was saying. She had no information on what was the delay, how long the delay would be, what was going on. She jokingly said, like, I have no idea.
Yeah, please try to be patient.
Yeah, be patient. If you have complaints, don't come stand near me. But she said that in a jokingly way.
Right.
And we all laughed. But, so it ended up being, we started the race at 8:30 when it was supposed to start at 8 o'clock.
Right.
They did at, apparently it was 8:24. They did announce that the race would start in 6 minutes,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of random. But until then, we had no idea when this race was going to start.
Right.
And I think there was a lot of just frustrated people.
Just because we didn't know.
Yeah.
I think it was more just like not knowing what was happening. Not necessarily, hey, we're delayed, but it's like, hey, nobody has said anything about being delayed.
And I know I'm the complainer out of the two of us. And that was my complaint. Stuff happens. If it's a late start, that's not a big deal. But not knowing when the start was a little bit frustrating. Just kind of nobody knew. There was no announcement, like I said, until 6 minutes before when it was the start. So they told us 6 minutes. We all kind of crowded in the close to the start line.
Wait, before you, I know what you're going to go to next,
but go ahead.
Before you get to that part. So, you know, the other thing too, with not knowing how much it's going to be delayed, or, you know, kind of nice to let people know how much longer they think it's going to be delayed is, you know, people kind of plan their nutrition based on that. I mean, although at this point, probably everybody's already eaten what they're going to eat pre-race. But, you know, if you need a refuel or something, you know, maybe it's going to be another 40 minutes or something. Maybe you need a refuel because I tend to eat an hour before, which ended up being an hour and a half before, which okay, I don't know if that it affected me, but still. And then like bathroom breaks too. You know, people try to time their bathroom breaks.
Right before.
So, you know, just kind of for that sort of preparation or even warming up. Like if you had known, hey, we're starting at 8:30.
I would have warmed up at 8:15
exactly,
or 8:20
exactly,
and not
versus at
7:50 8. Or exactly. You know, 8 a.m.
Yeah, so it would have just, I mean, I'm not really complaining. It just would have been nice to know how much longer it was going to be delayed.
Yeah.
So.
But we were hanging out with friends. We should say we had our Ragnar team from Napa. Several people from the team were there doing the race along with us. We actually all wore our Ragnar Napa shirts that we had.
Yeah.
So we were all kind of matching. So that was kind of cool. We took some pictures beforehand. We did take pictures after the whole group after the race. It was kind of cool seeing, you know, the race actually had two out and backs kind of.
Yes,
so it was nice,
seeing
people and stuff. But
and you could easily identify the shirt too.
Yeah.
So you knew like somebody we knew was coming.
Right. I mean, it's nice when everybody's in the exact same shirt.
Right.
Regardless of how recognizable it is because, you know,
that's
true. You're only looking for one shirt the whole
that's
time.
That's true.
So. But yeah, like I said, we got the 6-minute notice to the start. We were all standing around at the start. There was no on your mark, go. There was no gun. There was no horn. There was no
anything.
Somebody yelling. It was, we were just there kind of, you know, I think
chatting
attention. And all of a sudden people just took off.
Right.
And we had no idea that the race was starting. And
exactly.
Everybody kind of around us in that little area was like, okay, we're going now. Okay.
I think I was actually still turned sideways. Like, and then I just happened to look forward and I was like, oh my gosh, people are like moving.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there was
like
no warning.
You know.
You know, it's not like most of us, we don't have watches to check the time, or if you have a cell phone, it's in an armband or in a pocket, or if you have a Garmin, does your Garmin say the time all the time?
It does, but not all the time.
Not
no,
when
you have,
you're
to go to that display.
Mode.
Right.
So,
well, I mean, you kind of expect to have some sort of indicator
of
if it's starting something,
like
flag
I said,
waving.
Something,
I don't know.
3, 2, 1, go
yeah,
on your
something.
Marks. You know, we could do it. Playground style, on your mark, get set, go.
Yeah. Although, you know, the announcer did say, I am still going to start you guys. So,
okay.
One, did she actually say something and we just couldn't hear her?
I mean, that's a possibility.
Or did she just not
like
say
I said,
anything?
With the speaker system they had, you unless you were standing right in front of that stage, you had no clue what was going on. So, so we finally do start. I will say this is a very, I'd call it a scenic course.
Yeah,
for,
I agree.
For a small, local half marathon, 5K, 10K. I think I actually wrote down the numbers. The half marathon was 426 people, and then like 300 something for the 10K, 300 for the 5K. For kind of like a local small town half, very scenic course. The first 6 miles is kind of an out and back along a trail that runs along a creek.
Yes.
So the only downside to
paved.
That is
it's paved. Mm-hmm.
It's like asphalt though, not concrete or anything.
Right.
Is it's very crowded the first 2 miles.
Yeah. Because it's pretty narrow.
It's pretty narrow. It's kind of similar to like the width of a fire road if it was a paved fire road, I guess.
Yeah. Maybe even a little bit narrower than that.
In some places.
Yeah.
You go through a couple underpasses.
A couple bridges.
You have a little turnaround at mile 3. We cross one little road and then we do a little loop around a residential block and we kind of come back.
And that's actually the only streets we are on or cross.
Yeah. We,
like
we
actual
were counting.
Streets.
Yeah. We cross one little street and then we're on like three tiny little residential streets to do this little loop. And then we're back on that trail coming back.
Right.
And then we kind of cross very near our start line. And then we head out for another long out and back, which kind of takes you through Livermore wine country, I guess you could say.
Yeah, very pretty.
So, and that's all on trail, paved trail, which was nice because along the side there was a lot of dirt. So I ran onto the packed dirt.
Yeah.
Which felt much nicer.
A lot of people were doing that. And I kind of went back and forth. Between the dirt
and the pavement.
Yeah. If it was like kind of looser dirt, I didn't go over there because just I was already kind of sore and stuff. But yeah.
But it's all, you know, that mile. This is like mile 6 through 12, I guess. It's lots of vineyards. Get to see the wineries and the grapes and all that stuff. So it's I think it's very scenic. It's nice.
Yeah, it is. It is.
You know, no crossing of streets, no major, you know, intersections or anything like that. So that's why I say for a local half, it's really... really nice.
Yeah, like we didn't have to deal with a car at all, like any cars or anything. A couple bikes out there, but nothing major.
Yeah, I mean, there's other people out enjoying the trail like they normally would. It was kind of funny because I saw some women. The 10K kind of shared part of the same course. So I was like, oh, here come the first women in the 10K. And then I was like, oh, no, that's just two women that were out for the Saturday or Sunday morning run. So I'm like, oh, you're throwing us off here. So yeah, I don't know what else we want to say. There was 8 stations out there.
Yeah.
Serving water. Mm-hmm. And I believe they had all the 8 stations that they were supposed to have, maybe?
I think they had the number of 8 stations they were supposed to. I think
not at the correct locations.
One of them might have been at a different location than what they had posted online.
Now, there was supposed to be Gatorade.
Yeah.
There was none?
No.
At any 8 station?
No.
Unless totally
it was
blind.
Like odorless, flavorless, like tasted like water.
So yeah, no Gatorade out there. So that was a little bit, a little bit of a downer.
Yeah.
Actually took I took 4 goes during the run.
You actually took them?
Yeah. I actually took, my plan was to take 3.
Mm-hmm.
I took an extra one just because, and I'm actually really glad because of the delay.
Right.
I ended up taking my first go at like mile 3, which mm-hmm. is kind of earlier than normal.
Yeah.
But considering, you know, I took a Honey Singer waffle, like 15 minutes, like 7:45 a.m.
Yeah.
But then the race didn't, you know, I was shooting for 15 minutes before, but then there was a half an hour delay. Right. So I said, well, I might as well start taking my goo early. And then when there was no Gatorade, I'm like, okay, though, this is the only, the only thing I'm going to get other than water is whatever I brought. So I'm like, I definitely should take my 4 goos during the race. So that's kind of what I plan to do very early. It's kind of funny. Like after I got through the first 8 station, I knew in my head, I bet there's going to be no Gatorade.
Yeah.
Don't ask me why
I thought that after the second one.
But I was like, for some reason, I just know there's going to be no Gatorade out here.
Yeah, so. I thought that's what after the second one, I kind of thought that.
I think there was supposed to be goo somewhere out on the course. There was not.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the 3 previous years that I've done the half marathon, they've always had goo. Always.
Yeah. So
that was
missing.
Yeah. So, I mean, come prepared.
We'll mention later, there were supposed to be some porta potties on the back
end of
the course.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
I weren't there, but I wasn't even looking for them, or I didn't even know they were supposed to be out there. So I think there was
kind
some
of
early.
Was looking.
Oh,
I kind of had
just
to
in
pee.
Case, just as
no,
a safety blanket.
No. I kind of had to pee, and it was one of those things where I probably would have gone one last time right before the race, but I didn't know how much time we had.
Uh-huh.
And so then I started running, and I was like, well, you know, like they've had porta potties before, you know, like kind of towards the beginning, and then kind of up like in the vineyard area, and I was like, I'll just hit one of those if I have to go. But I actually never saw one. There was one, but I never saw one. But there was only one, and it was like early on. So, yeah.
Now, how did your legs feel? Now, you did the other race on Saturday. So, how did your legs feel at the start?
They were sore. Like they bothered me more. Like when you go from like standing to sitting to standing, you know, and like walking, they actually were more sore. Once I started running, they felt better. I don't know why, but they just did. You know, they felt better like in that movement. So while running, they actually felt way better than I thought they would. I didn't really feel any soreness, like probably after mile 1. I didn't feel any soreness at all. They felt tired. They felt like a little more fatigued. Kind of felt like, oh, maybe I had already been running a little while,
right.
Or I really hadn't. And I think my body overall felt a little bit more fatigued. My arms were kind of tired. Like my biceps are actually kind of sore, I think, from like holding my arms up yesterday for like 2 hours and 46 minutes. So maybe I do need to do a little bit more cross training than I have been. But, and then coming, uphill, I felt okay. And I think I even mentioned it. I'm like on these hills that we had, which, you know, it was a little hilly for a road, race.
Yeah.
But
we
not
even mentioned, but yeah. There was definitely some hills.
Right. But if it felt like nothing compared to yesterday, you know, like when I was going
after,
up these hills,
4,000.
Right.
Feet
yeah.
Elevation.
When I'm going up these hills, I'm like, oh my gosh, like these are like, I could actually just run up these, not have to hike up, you know, that sort of thing. But coming downhill, like I could feel my quads. That's the only time I felt them kind of being sore is coming downhill. You just feel them kind of stiffen up and it's like, oh, like that step hurt. Oh, that step hurt. You know, that sort of thing. But my legs felt pretty good. I know that was a really long answer to your question, but.
No, I mean, I guess you're pretty happy with how the race went.
Oh yeah.
For you.
Yeah. I had no idea. Like, what I was going to, like, I didn't know if I was going to end up walking the last half or how much lower I was going to be than, you know, like a regular half marathon for me. Like I had no idea. And I did way better than I could have imagined.
So I guess you should tell us what your time was.
My time was 1:45:58.
So pretty fast.
Yeah.
Fast in my book, especially considering you ran. The
no, I'm thrilled with it. Yeah. Although I'm kind of paying for it now.
Like I said, we're both.
I'm walking
here
quite gingerly,
up.
And yeah. Stairs are not my friends right now.
Yeah, no, I actually had a pretty good race myself. Actually, I started out a little bit faster than I kind of wanted to, but I think it's because that trail was so narrow. You're kind of in the middle of the crowd.
Yeah,
like you can't really slow down or stop. I felt like pressured to like keep the pace of everybody around me.
Mm-hmm.
So I started out a little bit fast, but I guess I felt pretty good for most of the race.
Yeah.
I knew I was on. Now, I guess I said last week this should be a tempo run. I really shouldn't be racing. And I guess like I normally do, I kind of toss that out the window for no reason. And I guess I raced it. So I was actually right on my PR pace. Right. Most of the race, I guess. So I knew as long as I stay there, I can kind of try to pick it up at the end.
That's crazy.
I know. But like I said, I felt pretty good. My IT band, you know, it was there. You know, of course, it's there all the time, but I could feel it there. But it really didn't bother me, not even as much as it did at Rock and Roll San Jose.
Interesting.
Yeah, but both my knees just felt kind of beat up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that might have been the hills, because while these hills were very easy for you, for me, I was like, this is crazy, you know?
Who put these hills here?
Yeah, I'm like, this is a dumb idea to have all these hills here. This is horrible. But I never run on hills. Yeah. I run, you know, everything that I run is really flat. So I'm very unprepared for the hills. So it was interesting. I mean, it's kind of funny. I've never done this half course before, but we've done an event on a bike event that they do. They do a Meals for Wheels charity event, kind of fundraising event every year, which we missed this year, but it kind of goes along the exact same route as this half marathon.
Mm-hmm.
So I was actually very familiar with the course, which was kind of nice because I kind of knew what to expect. I wasn't exactly sure where the turnaround points were.
Yeah.
But other than that, I was very familiar with it. So went really well. I was kind of really done when I got to mile 12. I just felt like, oh, I'm done.
So you just sat down and said, I'm done.
I should have. I didn't really do much. I didn't really stick to my run walk thing at all, especially early on. At the end, I kind of just, you know, I always like to walk up the hills because...
Yeah, makes sense.
I can't really run much faster than I can kind of like power hiking up these hills.
Yeah.
So with all the hills at the end, I kind of saved all my walking for the end, which is one of the reasons I actually came out a little bit faster was I knew I'd lose time at the end of this race just because of the hills, because the first 6 miles were relatively flat.
Yeah.
Versus the end of the course. Right. So,
you knew the hills are definitely going to be towards the end.
Yeah. So, yeah, I ended up PRing.
Yay!
Which was cool. I wasn't planning on it. I wasn't expecting. Wasn't really going for it. So I actually finished in, I guess I should say, 2:06:30 something, which took about 2 minutes off my time. I think in mm-hmm. Rock and Roll San Jose, I think I ran 2:08 or something like that. So it was kind of cool PRing.
Even with the hills, you PR'd.
With the hills.
Yeah.
So I was actually pretty happy with how the race went. It was a lot of fun having friends out there to run with, like we said earlier, kind of out and back, seeing everybody, giving high fives to our Ragnar teammates as we were out there. Yeah. And stuff. One of our friends actually did his first half marathon.
Yeah, so that was cool. Pretty excited for him.
Yeah. So I think he had fun doing that. What else should we say? You know, I came down the finishing stretch, the last, you know, 100 feet, 200 feet towards the finish line, looking for the clock. They had no race clock.
No. I guess that never got set up.
Which is funny because after the race, I looked and I saw the little tripod that it sits on in a box that looked kind of like the perfect size to fit a race clock. But I guess it never got set up.
Yeah.
So coming down the home stretch there, I had no clue really what my time was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had it, you know, I was listening to my my phone with run meter. So, but I don't know, when you're coming down that last like 100 yards or something, I don't know. I can't pay attention to what my time was, I guess. I like to see it on the clock. So
you kind of totally kind of zone out, like kind of tunnel vision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
block everything else out.
So that was kind of cool. I mean, it was a fun race. Like I said, it's scenic. The race kind of had its problems, mm-hmm. I guess you could say. You tasted the water after the race.
Yeah.
It was weird. What's that thing called? The monster?
I don't remember.
Monster water thing. It's like those typical Gatorade dispensers that you would see in like a professional football game or at any race that you do, but it's like 6 times the size.
Yeah,
this thing was like huge, so it had like the little spouts to pour water like all around it, and there was people there handing you cups.
Yeah, it had like 4 or 5 of those spouts all around it.
But the lady, which is funny because I think it was before the race, I said, oh, how do you clean that thing, right? That's got to be a pain, because you'd have to like jump into it almost,
right,
to clean it. That's how big this thing was. And I was about to go get water, and some lady before me grabbed water, and she was like, she was complaining to the lady about the taste. She said that tasted horrible or something like that. So I just skipped it.
Mm-hmm.
You said you tasted the water out of it and it tasted
horrible.
Yeah. So I don't know.
But I drank it because
you just needed
it. I had nothing else and there wasn't anything else to drink. So I had one cup or one glass and then I was done with that. And then I went over for the orange slices and had like a whole orange.
Yeah. And then we actually brought a cooler in the car with some drinks. So you actually went to the car and got the cooler. So
So I had it when you came through.
Came through. So I had a Gatorade right away. So that was awesome. Thanks for that.
No problem.
So yeah, so I don't know what's going on. Maybe, I'm kind of thinking maybe they didn't clean it.
You know, it tasted bad. Like it tasted very plasticky and also like metally at the same time. I mean, those aren't really words, but a lot like plastic and a lot like metal.
Yeah.
Like just something's off. And it didn't taste like tap water. I know what that tastes like. You know, tap water is totally fine, but it just didn't taste good.
So yeah, so kind of a scenic course. Had a lot of fun because, you know, we had people out there and we saw some other people outside of our Ragnar team. Actually talked to a couple of people about Ragnar. Never met them before, but we were...
One of them actually
recognized
our shirts.
From
Ragnar.
So I was talking to them, talked to a couple of people that hadn't done Ragnar before. So I was encouraging them to at least do it once, give it a try.
Yeah.
Said it's a lot of fun.
They didn't have any mile markers that I saw.
Right. I didn't see any mile. I didn't see a single one.
Yeah.
Which was kind of weird. You know, they did a pretty good job at the aid stations, but each aid station only had like two people. So I think they were kind of, a lot of times they didn't have the chance to hand you cups because they were too busy filling cups.
Mm-hmm.
So no big deal. I really don't have a problem grabbing it off the table.
Yeah, no, and they had plenty filled. It's not like there was only like, you had to wait for one or anything. Right. Yeah, they were there.
We got our medals. The medals are pretty cool looking.
Yeah.
They're like a wine stopper on the bottom of the medal. So we'll actually put, we're going to try to get some pictures up on Facebook of Rocky Ridge and Grape Stomp.
Yes.
So you can always see the coaster and the medals.
And that one actually has the ribbon on the medal is pretty cool too.
Yeah, very. I was actually looking at our other medals from the past, and this was probably the best looking ribbon on a medal that I've ever seen, or maybe second place for what we have. You know, normally you just get a plain. This one says like, what's it say? Half marathon that has the year.
Yeah, it says finisher.
And then there's like the Grape Stomp logo
right
at the top or something like that. So that was really cool. The shirts that we got at the race were
white.
White shirts, not black, so I guess I should be thankful for that. Mm-hmm. Really plain, real basic. I wasn't a huge fan of them, but that's fine. We also got a little duffel bag.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Which was funny because when I picked that up, I didn't even notice. You noticed it. They're kind of cheapy looking, and there was actually a note inside of our... Was it inside the bag?
Yeah, it was inside the bag.
With a note other, from...
Like,
the
random freebies.
Yeah, from the race management company basically saying, we're sorry for the bag. It's not the quality that we expected. We apologize. It's different than the sample that they had basically
bought on. Yeah, the fabric is different.
So there was actually a coupon code in there for $5 off to do this race next year.
Yeah.
Because of, I guess, the disappointment of the bags, which, you know, I thought the bags were fine. It wasn't a big, I wasn't expecting
much. It's basically,
much, so.
It's essentially what I expected, except maybe just a little bit thicker fabric. I mean, I wasn't really like disappointed with them.
Yeah. Out of everything, I think I was the least disappointed about that. Mm-hmm. They did have towels too at the finish.
Yeah, from one of their sponsors.
Yeah, I think it was a Volkswagen dealership. So that was kind of cool.
And they did have a little bit of post-race food, not much. And it wasn't like clearly marked. So I know I think a lot of people are kind of looking for it. But, you know, bananas, orange slices, and I think like power bars or something like that.
Yeah, I didn't even
bagels.
Take a look actually at all. Yeah. So, scenic course, I'm a little mixed on whether to do this race again next year. I don't know. It's kind of, you know, I like the course and stuff. It was really cool, but kind of the late start. And it seems like it's every, you know, you've done this race several years in a row or several times. And I know you like the race, but this is not the first time there's been some kind of issue. I think one year was the course was too long.
Yeah, that's when it was a different course.
Okay.
So this is the second year that it's actually been this course, and this course is actually much nicer.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it was the first or second year that I did it. It actually, the turnaround point, because it was just an out and back, and so the turnaround point was marked in a park at Shadow Cliffs Regional Park, like on a trail by a cone. And I guess the cone had gotten moved.
Mm-hmm.
So it was further than where it should have been for a lot of the people, but not everybody. So that was the problem that happened. I think it was either 2 or 3 years ago. And then they gave out a discount code for the next year's race too.
Yeah, so... I mean, I guess my issue is this racing company seems to have, it always seems to be like something goes wrong with this race. I mean, a lot of stuff seemed to have gone wrong this year.
Yeah.
The one thing I really do like about this company is they've always responded with an answer or an explanation or at least some recognition of what the problems were.
Yeah. Like when the course was long, like, oh, this is what happened. This is what we're doing, you know, for you guys for next year to.
Yeah, here's your discount code. Exactly. Same thing with the bags, you know, a note in the bag. I know would never expect a note in the bag saying, sorry, here's your $5 off for next year.
Exactly.
When we were, I guess, after the event, when us and a lot of other people were saying, talking about the stuff that went wrong, I said, well, it'll be interesting, you know, to hear what the race says, if anything. I was like, I bet you they're going to send something to mm-hmm. people. So we actually got an email today.
Right.
I think like an hour or two ago.
Yeah.
From the race management company, and they apologized for the late start. They actually said that they had somebody in the race. There was a death in their race crew.
Yeah, they said we had a death in our crew this week, and it's been very tough on everyone. We also had two key people not show up today due to emergencies or illness.
They talked about the porta potties that weren't on the back half of the course.
Yeah, they said they discovered that two of their porta potties on the back end of the half marathon went missing overnight. They were there yesterday, but then when they went to set up the course and aid course markings and aid station today at 3 a.m., they were missing. So, and they were saying that, you know, they don't really know what happened to them. They don't think people stole them, but there was that biking event very close to it. And so they're wondering if the people that came around to pick up porta potties for that event also picked up these porta potties.
And I'd almost bet that's exactly
what happened. Yeah, I could totally see that happening.
It's the exact same course, basically.
Right.
So, yeah, and then they said they apologized that the back half of the course didn't have mileage markers.
Right, although I didn't see any anywhere.
I didn't see any mileage marker anywhere, but...
And they said, totally my fault for not getting it done on time.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So, I mean, they finished with the spider challenges today. We hope you had a great time, and we'll see you all again next year. So, mm-hmm.
So you have mixed feelings at this point about doing it?
Like I said, I give this company credit because, you know, when they make a mistake, they own up to it. They don't ignore it. They come clean, like I said, right away about what happened. You know, the only thing that was really missing was the communication before the race.
Yeah.
Just to say, you know, it's going to be 10 minutes. You know, it's going to be 5-minute delay. It's going to be 35-minute delay. And like I said, if they did say it, we didn't hear it. And that's because you couldn't hear anything that was going on over mm-hmm. there. So right now I'm a little bit, I guess, sour on the event just because of the problems. And this is the kind of stuff I kind of expect when it's an inaugural event,
mm-hmm.
but not for a race that's been in the same location for, I know the course has changed over the last several years but this, you know, it's the same start finish line. It's been going on for years. You kind of expect them to kind of have this stuff nailed down. And to not have the start line just seemed like set up was kind of just a really weird thing to me. But you probably... Well, the reason I said I don't know about doing it is because there's another race, not in the area, not too far, St. Joe's Half Marathon.
Yeah.
In Stockton, California.
Yeah. Which, a little bit further away from us, but...
Yeah, it's definitely further, but it seems like a pretty well-run event.
Seems like it.
I saw pictures today for some people that we know that did it. Pretty cool shirts, pretty cool medals. I think they even got like a vest or something like that.
Yeah.
Lots of extra stuff, I guess. So,
so you're doing it for the
swag? I guess. I don't know. I think, you know, Grape Stomp and Livermore is going to be a much more scenic course, but I wouldn't mind doing something different. You'd probably want to come back and do Grape Stomp, right?
Well, I mean, assuming that it wasn't to do a different race.
Then you would do it.
I would do it again. Yeah. I mean, I'm, like we mentioned, I'm kind of more on the optimistic
side.
So, yeah, it had its issues today, but... This is the fourth time I've done it. I haven't really had any issues with it in the past. Even when, you know, the course was a little bit long. I mean, you know, they like owned up to it,
mm-hmm.
gave us a discount and like didn't have any other problems with them the last 3 years. So with this kind of being, you know, kind of a, I don't know, it was just kind of a bad day for them, I guess, today. And so I kind of just, you know, give them the benefit of the doubt, like, okay, the last 3 years were fine for the half. You know, when I did the 10K, their 5K, I didn't have any problems. So just, you know, just bad day happened to be on race day for people. And, you know, I still like the course a lot. You know, and like you said, you know, for it being like kind of a small local race, especially for half marathon, I kind of like the fact that you don't have to really run on like city streets and deal with cars or anything like that. So
no, it's a great course.
If it's like, okay, we're either going to do, or I'm going to do Grape Stomp or nothing, I would definitely do it again. If it's, well, we could try maybe a different race. I might want to try a different race, mm-hmm. but not necessarily because of what happened today, just because I've done it 4 years, even though it's been two different courses, but still. So
yeah, I kind of think we'll give it we'll probably end up doing it again next year. But
yeah. Unless we do another one, I could see us maybe doing
St. Joe's or something. Total credit for them to owning up to what the issues were. And then, like I said, the medal was cool, so that was kind of nice.
Yeah.
So
definitely different than anything we have.
It's funny. I was like, oh, don't you already have like a Wine Stopper medal? But mm-hmm. I remember that was a Napa Valley, some marathon or half
marathon.
Which
we haven't
done. Which I just seen a random picture of that I was like,
you for just some assumed reason, we had it.
In my head, I thought you had it. I know I didn't run it, but I thought maybe you had.
I was like, I'm pretty sure I don't have a Wine Stopper.
So yeah, but overall, I'm pretty happy. Got the PR.
Yeah.
That was cool. You survived your back-to-back races.
Mm-hmm.
So a very busy weekend. A lot mm-hmm. of time spent running and recovering from running, I guess you could say. I actually did the ice bath thing today.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like I said, I like the ice baths, and I think they help recovery a little bit. So
I skipped the ice bath today, but I'm wearing my CEPs.
And I skipped,
that'll help.
I skipped my compression post-race today. So mainly because I forgot more than anything. I think I was too tired to think about it. So that was our busy race weekend. Not racing next weekend.
Nope.
Just really long runs. I have to do, according to my CIM training plan, I think I'm doing 19.
Are you?
Yeah. So I guess I'm looking forward to that.
You guess.
I guess. I didn't talk about my shoes. I'll talk about shoes next week. I ran in those shoes today that I said I wasn't too happy with. And I think they're going to work out all right, I guess. The longer I run in them, the better they feel.
So they'll be perfect for a marathon then.
Oh, yeah. By mile 20, I'll be loving them. You know, they'll feel great.
Are you going to try to use them for this next long run or not necessarily?
I think so. I'll probably just... One of my next two longs, I'll wear them. So we'll see how that goes. Before we wrap it up for this week, I remember the two things I was going to say about CIM.
Oh, you
earlier.
Did? Yeah. It came back through the window?
It came back through. So I actually made a note earlier, but I just wanted to mention if you know, we're not supposed to, you know, transfer your or just give your bib to somebody else or sell your bib to somebody else. The big issues with that are my two suggestions is if you are going to use somebody else's bib, you should make sure you don't run fast enough to medal.
Right.
Because I think most people agree that that's unfair for you to.
To place like in the age groups.
Right. Because, you know, you might not be in the same age group.
Right.
You might not even be the same sex.
Right.
So it's not fair to.
Take somebody else's spot.
Age group medal. So if you are going to take a bib, you should either one, be a slower runner, or if you're super fast, I don't know, start in the back, take your time, enjoy the scenery. I don't know what it is, but you definitely shouldn't take somebody else's age group medal.
Yeah.
So run a little bit slower. The second thing is just as a safety thing, you should put your name and maybe an emergency contact phone number on the back of the bib.
Right.
In case something
happens to you.
Something, God forbid, happens to you out there. You know, they're not going to have your real name attached to that bib because it's somebody else's bib.
Mm-hmm.
So at least if you put that information on the back of the bib, if something were to happen, you have a medical issue, they can at least contact. They know your name and they have the correct person to contact.
Right. Whether it's a spouse or friend or whoever.
Yeah. So, and actually maybe putting your name and, you know, phone number, an emergency contact number on the back of all your bibs might be a great idea.
Yeah.
Rock and Roll Events actually has an outline on the back for you to fill all that out.
Mm-hmm.
They actually ask for your age and your address and
allergies.
Yeah.
What medications you're on.
So, I mean, in general, that might be a good idea just to throw that on the back of all your bibs. Although I wonder how many people would think to look at the back of a bib. I mean, I guess maybe
race
people.
I will.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, you know, unless you have something like a road ID.
Right.
Which is kind of that tag that you wear on your shoe or bracelet that says
your name.
Same, that says the same exact same information, name and contact information.
Right, and whatever else you want on there.
So I just wanted to mention those two things in case you did have somebody else's bib. So,
but to that I say, don't have somebody else's bib.
Yeah, you shouldn't do that.
Right.
But it happens. Like I said, if you
I know
stop
it happens, but
I'm not going to go visit that subject again. But I did want to mention those two things. So that's going to kind of wrap it up for the week. You got anything else?
I don't think so.
Nothing
I can think of.
Awesome. I'm tired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a little tired too.
As you should be.
Yeah. I'm actually, you know what I'm just ended on a light note. You know what I'm most worried about right now?
What's that?
Getting out of this chair when we're done.
Yeah, kind of a long episode. Sorry for the length. Two races to cover is kind of a lot. We'll try to put some pictures from both events. I don't know how many pictures we actually took. Sometimes we're really good about taking pictures. Sometimes we're really bad. So, yeah. So we'll try to put that on our Facebook page. So check that out. Hopefully today or tomorrow. So why don't you tell people where to find that page, actually?
Sure. So our Facebook page is facebook.com/embracerunning. The website for the podcast is embracerunning.com. And you can send us any comments, questions, or feedback at feedback@embracerunning.com. If you enjoy the show, give us a review on iTunes. And that's going to do it for this week. So until next time, keep running.